Say, this is my Bible.
I can do.
My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Amen. Let's give a big round of applause for Isaac Fernandez. He has been working tirelessly, keeping the streets of LA safe for us. And now he is here protecting the saints of God, right? With the word.
Hey, how's everybody doing? I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. I need everybody today to like just pay close attention because God is not only speaking to you guys, but he's speaking to me as well. And honestly, like when I was talking to Angel the other night, and I was telling them this is what I'm going to speak on Wednesday. This is like an idea that I have. And then today, while I was working, the Lord like said, "No, you're not going to speak on that. You're going to speak on this." And it's just out of control how God works. But I'm so glad to see you guys. I've missed you guys very, very, very much. I had like a weird schedule when I was working 2 p.m. to 12 a.m. in the morning. And now I'm working 5 in the morning to 3 p.m. And I'm off like early, but I'm super tired because I'm not used to waking up at 5 in the morning. But it's a good thing, amen, because I'm here with you guys. I get my weekends off, so we'll see how long that lasts. But let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. If you have your phones, put them away. If you do have them out and you're reading your Bible off your phone, honestly, like people say, like, "Hey, man, preachers don't trip on that," but we like secretly kind of judge you. Like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. No, we don't. We say like, "Hey, you know, just have a physical Bible," because your Bible will never run out of battery. It will not die. And it won't distract you. You know what I mean? You could be like tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming while you're listening to the word. Like, this won't distract you. If anything, like, you'll have your eyes up, you'll be engaged. And then another thing that I want to remind you guys, that Pastor Drew always reminds me, like, bring a pen and bring some paper, because you'll be like, "Oh, what is that thing that God spoke? Oh, I forgot." You know, like, have it. If you have it in a piece of paper, you'll never forget. It'll be there. And that'll be like a monument. You could have that in your home and say, like, 10 years out from now and be like, "Man, I remember that one night. It was the 24th of February, 2016. And God spoke to me and he said this and I wrote it down." And then you could share that with someone else. Amen. Don't feel bad if you don't have paper. You could turn me down a little bit. It's kind of loud. Anybody? Thanks, bro. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Yeah, that's a lot better. That's good. I don't like listening to my own self very loud. So just bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the word that's going to be brought forth. Lord, I thank you, God, that it's not me speaking, but it's you. I pray that that our hearts are filled with expectation. And as we expect, Lord, and your Holy Spirit moves, we'll be able to receive, and not only receive, but we'll do what we receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just remember one thing: when you come to church, don't like get bummed out. Like, whoever's speaking, don't worry about who's speaking. Know that God is speaking. Because you could come to church and be like, "Man, like, I didn't hear from God today." Well, then that's on you, not on God, you know, because God speaks all the time. If somebody was out here talking about like how many girls they dated and how many drinks they drank and how like their experience, then I could agree with you. But if they're speaking out of the word of God, then, and you go home feeling like you didn't receive anything, then that's shame on you. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I'm just calling some stuff like it is. So if Joaquin's speaking, if Joel is speaking, I said Joel. If Joel is speaking, if Shayla is speaking, anybody who's speaking, know that it's God speaking through them. And remember, don't look at us, because God uses broken vessels all the time. So if I messed up last night and you're like, oh, Isaac was like mad at his wife last night, I can't listen to him because he's not godly, then, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Just expect. This is something that one of my favorite worship leaders says. He says an atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So when you are ready to receive and you're expecting, then you'll receive what you want. What you want. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start off, like, I was just like bombarding this girl with like a couple last minute scriptures, but I was watching these lights when we were playing, and I was like, dude, these lights are so cool, and they remind me of camp. How many went to camp? How many received something in camp? And I was thinking, like, what's the deal with us going to camp or church going to camp, and then, like, we have powerful services, and then we come back down, and then it kind of, like, fades away, and it shouldn't fade away, shouldn't go away, should be the same, right? But it's the same concept. You're expecting. When you go to camp, you're like, oh, I'm expecting God. He's going to touch me. He's going to speak to me. And then he does, amen? But then we come back, and then God is saying, like, come on, I want you to expect because I have more for you. That was just the start. So tonight, we want to, like, I don't know where your heart is at, but I'm speaking personally, like, about me. But God wants to rekindle, like, things, ideas, that fire that you felt once. And like Joe, everything Joe was saying is we're in tune with the Holy Spirit tonight. Returning to your first love. Things that people used that regretted and they wrote them down on a chalkboard. That was awesome. That was an awesome video. One thing, and that goes with what I'm going to speak today, is going deeper. Everybody say going deeper. Don't regret later on in life of not going deep enough with God. And in relationship with God. Amen? You guys feeling that or not really? Amen? God is a builder, guys. Everybody say God is a builder. God is a builder. He created you and I. He created the heaven and the earth. In Genesis, we see all his wonderful creation. And he creates man. Amen? And we're going to start building right here, right? You know the reason why we could build here? Because whoever built this building was a builder. Easy, right? Honestly, if we were to see, like, down here, I bet you we have a crazy awesome foundation. There's been massive earthquakes here in Pico back in the 80s and 90s, and this building's still standing. Why? Because it has a good foundation. And that's what we're going to speak about tonight. Digging a little deeper. Everybody say, I want to dig a little deeper. Come on, everybody say, I want to dig a little deeper. We're going to go to our first scripture. It's going to be in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, amen? I want you to stay engaged. So if there's something that strikes you in your spirit, just say amen. It's okay. I'm not going to get mad. Help me out, amen? Amen. I feel like weird, like I haven't been here so long, you know? You guys are just looking at me like, what is this guy going to say today? Welcome to Souza, yeah. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. When you're there, say, I'm there. It says, and seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this is where I want to focus tonight. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want to dig a little deeper tonight, if you want to dig a little deeper tomorrow, guess what? That means that you're hungry to find out what's at the bottom of that, whatever you're digging. You're trying to discover something that you have not discovered before. People that look, there's some silly people that like walk around with these like long sticks, and they're like dee 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 dee, and they start to dig, and then they find like coins that are worth like millions of dollars. I remember my brother bought like a pair, and him and his friend used to go to the beach and like go like, and they used to find like quarters and stuff. Like, dude, you're wasting your gas driving to the beach and then to find quarters. Like, but I guess that's like exciting, I guess. Like, oh, there might be buried treasure. Like, there's no pirates in California, dude. You know, come on now. You know, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're trying to seek and you're trying to find more of God, trust me, if you start to dig, you're not going to be like, it's just going to be like a note that says, hi, loser, there's nothing here, or I owe you. Yeah, like exactly. You will find something, amen? And I want you guys to really like think about the scripture when you go home and say blessed. See, God calls us blessed, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus was righteousness. I mean, Jesus was righteous. Amen. Every single day he was doing something that was he was just a walking man. He was a walking man just like you and I. But he craved righteousness. He craved to be closer to his Father. He wanted to go pray. He went off to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was fasting. Amen. Why? Because he wanted to be filled with righteousness. He didn't come back. Can you put it back up there? Thanks, bro. He didn't come back and start like working miracles. And he wasn't like empty. Like, oh, I'm so empty because I was fasting 40 days. My stomach's so empty and I feel so drenched and I don't have any. He came back filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he was seeking. He was digging deep. Amen. Is that good? Maybe. Amen. So some of you, and including myself, some of us, I'm going to say some of us, have walked in a Christian way of living and just at like a surface level kind of. Like, have you gone to the beach and you just kind of like put your, like a little bit, you know, like up to like right here? What's this called right here? My calves or my ankles or cankles. You guys know what cankles are? Huh? Cankles, no. Ankles. And then like you just like, oh, like I just want to, this is how deep I want to be. If honestly, I've known many people that are like 50, 60, and they've walked at a like a very shallow level walk of Christianity. Those are the people that will get really offended at people when they speak the truth. Those are the kind of people that get offended when they speak about tithes and offerings. Those are the people that never want to do anything in church. You ask them to serve and they're like, oh, wow. They always have like excuses. I'm tired. I work. I have school. I have to study. My leg hurts. My back hurts. God hasn't called me to that position. But yet when they're like singing songs, like they're super like, God, what's a good song for that? No, not that one. I give myself away so you... Don't sing that, liar. Please, don't sing that. Amen? That way, sometimes like we don't choose those songs to sing. And I'm going to be completely honest because sometimes my flesh, my old flesh, the guy that I'm trying to kill, amen, every single day, will look at people and then I'll be like, oh, that guy don't want to give himself away. You know? Oh, uh-uh. That guy or that girl, that couple over there don't want to give themselves away. Don't sing it, bro. Please don't sing it. Please. Let's go to the bridge on that song. Let's go to the bridge on that song. You get me, though? That, I mean, the awesome thing is God always thinks optimistic. He's always like, you know what? You're singing that. You're not doing it. But I know that if you put an effort to it, you'll give yourself away. Yeah, amen. Amen? Amen. So he's always... God is crazy in love with you guys and with me. And his desire is for you to give yourself away and dig deeper, amen? Trust me, I know there's a lot of negative stuff that I'm throwing at you guys, like people, but I'm just trying to, I don't want you guys to be that. This guy was saying, Joel was saying, you, most of you guys are young, under the age of 20. You can start right now and start digging into like a crazy, crazy level. Amen? Dig a little deeper. Tell the person next to you, dig a little deeper. Some of us, because we've had friendships, and because we're not fully invested in our friendships, we've given up on people because they don't want to come to church. God is saying, listen, dig a little deeper with these people. Doesn't mean that you have to go party with them and you know, do all that, but call them. Because trust me, one day when they're jacked up and they've hit rock bottom, they're not going to go look for the homies that, hey, let's go to the club and party. They're going to come and look for you. Amen. You got to stick around, guys, for these people. God, Jesus didn't come to hang out with the righteous people that were like, he kept himself close to the sinners, to the prostitutes, to the drunks, to the tax collectors, to all those, to the Pharisees, because he always had hope that these people might change. And when they decided that they would, like, what's his name, Zaqueo? Zacchaeus? I just don't know in Spanish. You know? When the other guy that came to him at night, what's his name? Nicodemus. Right? God kept himself close. Now we're going to read a scripture that when I first read the scripture kind of freaked me out. But this is how deep God wants you to be in relationship with him. And it freaked a lot of people out when they read. It says that after he said this, a lot of his disciples forsook him. That's crazy. How do you walk with Jesus? See, the thing is that these people wanted to be with Jesus because of the miracles he would, like, hey, if we hang out with Jesus, surface level, remember, surface level disciples. Cankles, exactly. You know what? We don't have to buy groceries for a week and we hang out with Jesus. Because guess what? He turns a couple loaves and some fishes into a lot of food, and we can hang out and eat for free. Do you have a friend that's like a freeloader? Anybody know somebody that's a freeloader? Hey, love on them, right? Me and Chanel's, it was Chanel's and I's anniversary. 3 years married. Yesterday. You did it. And we went to eat. I took her out to eat Monday night. And this guy sounds so uncompassionate. And you'd be like, man, you're like not walking in love, bro. But trust me, like, I work the streets and I know when people are like genuine and they're really hungry. Or when they're like druggies and then they get high and they get the munchies and they just want to like freeload, you know. So we go eat and I have like my leftovers. And it was good food. I was already thinking I'm going to eat it tonight when I get home. You know, like, and this girl was like lit. She was like blown. Her eyes were red. I could smell, like, you know, the marijuana odor emitting from her body. And then she's like, she's like looking at my bag, like, I know she wants it. And she's like, would you happen to have some leftovers? And I was like, she knew. Come on, she knew. And then I was like, I'm sorry, this is for my little girl. And she walked away. And then she was like, oh, man, you should have given her the food. I'm like, listen, like, I just, you know, like, when people, like, if they're, I want to help poor people out. I want to help people that need food. Amen? But when you know they're, like, they have food, but they have money, but they'd rather spend it on their dope and get high, then no. Because you're just enabling them. Amen? If God's calling you to give, feed these people, hang out with them, That's your ministry. That's cool. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say don't help them out. That was just me being me that night. I was just hanging out with my wife. Amen. You guys already know me that I'm super transparent. I don't be lying to you guys. But these people were doing kind of like the same thing. They were just hanging out because they knew Jesus hooked them up with food all the time. You remember? They didn't want to dig any deeper because they knew, hey, if we want to hang out with Jesus all the time, he's going to tell us to leave everything we behind, to sell all our belongings. Amen? Yeah. Right or wrong? Right. Remember that young guy that came up to him, hey, God, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. He's like, okay, well, he's like, I followed all your rules, right? And he's like, okay, then, well, go sell everything and follow me. And then he left really sad because he had a lot. Amen? Yeah. See, Peter, people like that, man, they left everything. They left their trade. They left their families. They left everything to follow Jesus. So here we see these people, they're following Jesus just for the health, for the wealth. There's still Christians like that. They think, okay, like, you guys watch The Voice? Yeah? Or any shows like that? Just imagine that. Like, Jesus comes up and he starts doing his thing. And then they say blessing. And then, boom, they turn around. Blessings. Yes, you know? He says, like, all right, I'm gonna bless you financially. Yes. Yes, you know? And then as soon as God says something like you're gonna start, you have to forgive and love people radically. Nobody turns around for that, right? People always want the good things, that's it. They don't want like all the other baggage that comes with it. But it's not baggage. It's a blessing. People want to live in unforgiveness? That's sad. That's people that are walking can't go deep, right? Amen? You want to live that life? I don't want to live that life. Even when Joel said, like, people get old in 30s and 40s. Man, I'm 30, bro. Come on. That's not old, man. I'm young. You said that. You said, yeah, you said when they're older, 30 or 40. I heard. I'm just giving you a hard time. Hey, but he said 30 and 40, right? Who heard that? I heard it. But I forgive you, man. I love you radically, love. Hey, we're having a good time. That's it, you know? We're all family here. So, yeah, they want the stuff, but not the source. Amen? They want the stuff, but they don't want to put... There's an awesome cartoon that Andy watches, and this chicken's, like, walking around, and she goes to, like, Donald Duck and some pig, right? And she's like, would you help me plant my corn? And she does, like, this, like, funny... But they're like, oh, I'm sick. And they're, like, messing around before. And then she comes again every time, like, would you help me do this? Would you help me do this? And they say no. And then now she's got, like a feast with all her little... With all her little chicks, right? And then they're about to eat. And then she's like, let me go invite them to come. Would you help me eat my corn? And they're like, oh, me? Yes, right? And then she gives them a basket. And it's like, what is that? Castor oil, yeah. And they're like, wow. They're like start crying and kicking each other in the butt, both of them. But that's what happens. Like, God wants you, like, from the beginning, he wants you to invest, like the interns. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. Amen. Everybody give it up for the interns. They're not in it for the blessing. I mean, they're in it for the blessings because they are going to be blessed. But they're in it just because they love God. I came in Monday, man. They were beautifying this church. They were painting the walls. They were doing all that stuff. And you know what? I was like, yes. Like, that's awesome. You know, they're dedicating their lives to God. So we're going to go to the scripture. So remember, these guys, everybody's here with Jesus, even his disciples. Go to that Matthew scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Oh, no, my bad. That was... Well, this one goes with it, so we're just going to continue to read it. A man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded where? On the rock. So that's what we're talking about, digging deep, building your relationship with God on the rock, which is Jesus. Amen? And then it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, everybody say does not do them, will be like a what? A foolish man. Everybody say foolish man. Who build his house on what? On the sand. Where do you find sand, guys? In the beach. Where we're talking about ankle deep, right? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. And great was its fall. That's just another point that you guys could just remember. Amen. But we're going to go to John, that scripture in John. So here Jesus is speaking to a group of people. And check this out. It says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless, this is crazy. This tripped me out when I first read this. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I was like, dude, like, don't like, satanic people do that, like drink blood and eat flesh? Like when I first read it, I was young and I didn't understand, right? It says, whoever, it gets even crazier. Check this out. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you have more? For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Is that it? See, like, dudes were freaking out when they heard this. If they had papers back then, like, the newspaper would be like, Jesus, the cannibalist. Seriously, they were free. How do you say that we should eat your flesh and blood? They were saying stuff like that. You could read this whole chapter, and they'll talk about how they were freaking out. Like, how is this guy saying, to eat his flesh and drink his blood? See, because they were so shallow-minded, because their relationship with God was so shallow, they couldn't understand. But the people who were like in love with God, with Jesus, and they had a relationship and they were digging deeper, they understood, hey, we really have to dig deeper. He's saying, like, he wants an intimate relationship with me. And they understood that, amen? And check it out. Go to that other scripture in John. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. See, they were like complaining about this. He said, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, what? Profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and would betray him. Jesus knew this is the only point I'm going to give you guys today. Who wants to dig deeper? The only thing that you have to do is be committed to believe, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. You have to be committed to believe, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. Some of these people were like uncomfortable at what he said, you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. That's kind of weird. That's kind of uncomfortable. But they committed to believe God's words and his and what he was saying. They knew that God was referring not to like a physical thing, but a spiritual thing. And guess what? What does the Bible say? If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap what? But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap what? Everlasting life. Amen? See, God was trying to speak to these people. He wanted to like, he was saying, he was just trying to be really like, hey, I want you guys to be more committed to me. I want you guys to dig deeper and fall more and more in love with me. That's what Joel was saying earlier, like returning to your first love. Knowing God to the point where you, like, when he speaks to you, you stop everything that you're doing and you say, God, what's up? I'm here. I'm listening. Sometimes we were so wrapped up with life, with social media, with drama, that we can't even hear God speaking to us. God is speaking to you guys every single day. His Holy Spirit is convicting you every single day, and he's whispering in your ear. That way, that's the reason why you have to, like, get into your quiet place and dig deep and say, God, like, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Amen. I used to be this way. and maybe some of you can relate. I used to always say, like, God, like, show me first. Show me something first, and then I'll believe. Show me that you're with me, and then I'll believe you. We can't dictate God's actions because he's God. That was a silly mentality of me. God wanted me to just believe, and then he was going to show me. God has things in his mind and in his heart for you that he hasn't shown you yet. He's saving it for you until you're ready. There's visions, there's promises, there's prophecies that are already set for you in your life. And God is waiting to reveal those things to you. But you have to be willing to dig deep and say, God, like, I want to hear from you. Speak to me. What? But imagine you went to, sometimes we go to like counselors, like, oh, what school should I go to? Or like parents, like, you know, hey, Dad, what should I do with this? What better advisor than the Holy Spirit? Seriously, there's been times at work where I'm just like chilling. I had like a really good, like I pray before I go to work and I listen to worship. And then I get there and I feel like super good. Like I feel like, you know, hey, make a right right here. Make a right right here. And then like we jump out. There's like 20 guys and then one of them has a gun. And I'm like, yes. That's like God driving my car, amen. But there's times where I drive around all night and we don't find anything. We stop everybody, there's nothing. In your personal life, your relationships with your parents, you try everything, yet you guys still argue every single day. With your brothers and sisters, you guys fight all the time. If you would just spend time with God and dig deep and go into that source, he'd just be like, hey, all you have to do is make him coffee in the morning. It's silly stuff. Like, you'd be like, oh, that's not God. That's just my dumb head. No, no. Seriously, just listen to those small things. You start making them coffee. And then what if, like, you know, what if your mom just wants you to clean your room or something? And don't be selective. Clean my room? No, Lord, that's not you. That's not you, Lord. No, 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 that's not you. You know? No, seriously, try just being quiet for a second and listening to God. Your life will be a lot smoother. Amen? This is just a side note that I wrote. If Jesus is not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. So, if Jesus is not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. So, if you're not listening to God, and if you're like just doing, like, remember the voice, people, like you're just turning around to what you like, then he's not your Lord. He wants you to be in it all the way. When I married Chanel, I couldn't just like her just because she had green eyes. But you know what? When she gets pregnant and her belly gets big, then I don't love her anymore. You can have your baby and then you get skinny again, then I'll love you again. No, I have to love her. When she married me, I was, you know, I was skinny. Now I'm fatter. So she can't, you know, she's in it all the way. There's no such thing as like just picking and choosing. That's why there's relationships that fail all the time, because there's the divorce rate is so crazy in America, because guys are like, okay, this is the girl I married 5 years ago, but she's not the same girl. So now I'm just going to leave and try the next one. Trust me, they can move on to 20 girls and they're never going to be happy. Amen? So for young people that want to get married one day, fall in love with God first. Fall in love with God first and let God minister to you and work on you. Amen? And pray in your quiet place. God could show you. Amen? God could show you. You could be at church one day and some guy walks in and the Holy Spirit say, that's your... Don't be like, oh, he's so cute. Oh, God, yes, yes, I receive it, Lord. I receive it. No, no, no. You have to be really in tune. Amen? And you got to go speak to your pastors, because guess what? Your pastors hear from God too. Hey, pastor, this girl walked into church and she's really pretty. I felt this from the Lord, but I just want you to feel it too. Here's, you know, I brought you some food. No, but, you know, you always want to confirm, you know, confirm, not just with relationships, but with jobs and everything, you know, with everything, with school, where you go to school, all that stuff. That stuff is, you guys have to be really, because honestly, like, every decision you make, just think of it as like a spiritual, like, you're like in a game. It's not a game, it's for real, like real life. But you're like in that like Donkey Kong game. Like, if you make a right, you're going to fall and die. You know what I mean? Was that even in Donkey Kong? I don't even know why I said that. I'm just tired. But just know that every decision you make will have like a positive consequence or a negative consequence in your life. Amen? Amen? So remember, God believes in you. Amen? But he wants you to do your part too. I'm almost done. I'm going to be done like 5 minutes or less. Don't buy into some of the stuff that you hear on TV. Like a lot of people say, just come as you are. Yes, come as you are. But guess what? When you come, the Holy Spirit will start convicting you of certain things and you'll start to change. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't be that worshiper, amen, that sings the songs but doesn't do anything. I was telling Shana earlier that there's people that are on the altar. They're like, God, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me. I want to be used. And then like 5 weeks later, they're in pastor's office saying, Pastor, I'm leaving the church because I'm being used too much. Yes or no? Seriously. God, use me. Pastor, what do you need me to do? Okay, I need you to start by just cleaning up right here. Yeah, I need you to what? To vacuum? Vacuum. That's vacuuming, yeah? Clean the toilets. And then like a month, 2 months later, oh, Pastor Drew, you know, I can't do this anymore. I feel that I'm being used too much. Well, then don't ask. Don't ask to be used if you're not going to be willing to be, you're not going to be willing to be used. Amen? Amen? I have a couple more scriptures and then we're done, okay? That's it. Let me have Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. Some fell. Oh, this is talking about the sower who sowed the seed. It was a parable. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because what? They had no depth, right? That's a good scripture for you guys. You don't want to be that. And my last one, Ephesians 3:17. My love. Oh, sorry, I thought it was Ashley. But you're my love too. Check it out. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you what? Being what? Rooted and grounded in love. Amen? Amen. Dig deeper, guys. Let's dig deeper. Let's not wait till we go to camp to dig deep. Amen. This, like this right here, this local church, you probably hear me saying, like, what do you mean by that? Like, I really believe in the local church. I really, like, I'm all about, like, young people and adults committing to the church that God has called them in their community. This is where people's lives are going to be transformed and changed. This is where your kids are going to learn to love God. This is where you're going to come when you're weak, weary, when you're tired, when you're depressed, when you're sad, and God will have a word for you. Don't sell out and go to these mega churches that have like 3 million people. That is a lot, but it's not really that much, that many. But I always ask myself, like, God, like, how many pastors, how many leaders, how many people that were called to actually minister are in those churches? Just because they got comfortable, just because they became complacent and just wanted to be ankle deep. When did they give up on God? Close your eyes. Let me get the lights, yeah? See that like right there just brings like super, super, super sadness to my heart. When people give up on God because somebody else failed them. I'm telling you today, there's some of you that are giving up on God. This message just wasn't given to me today just because it was cool or it was easy to preach. This is for some of you today, including myself. Why walk and just wet your feet when you could be in the ocean with God? I remember going to everybody close your eyes. Just I want you to just focus right now. I remember going to middle school dances. And we'd buy the ticket, and then we'd go inside, and then all the guys would be on one side, and all the girls would be on the other side. And there was like a group of losers in the middle. Like, well, not losers, but like cool guys or cool girls. And they'd make a circle, and then they'd be like, you know, I'm just making up names. Juan. And then they like encourage them to go to the middle of that group and dance and start breakdancing. And then like they would have these like dumb battles, right? God, through Jesus, has provided the ticket to the best dance there's ever going to be. And that's just living a Christian life and serving Him. But a bunch of Christians, a bunch of us, including myself, sometimes we come into this huge, awesome, godly, joyful party, and all we do is just hang out. And Jesus is like telling you, like, come on, get involved. Like, let's go. Let's have fun. Dance with me. Dance with me. Hang out with me. And we just want to, because I don't know if we're scared, if we're scared of commitment, if we're scared of people failing us, if we're scared of not having enough time for our family, if we don't have enough time to go out and go vacation. Honestly, guys, without God, we're nothing. Without God, we have nothing. It's because of Him that we live, that we move, that we have happiness, because of God. When God made man, He created us perfect, just like Him. And even when when man failed God, He said, you know what, I'm going to dig a little deeper because I want them to be with me again. And He dug very, very, very deep to the deepest part of Him. And the thing He loved, the person who He loved the most, and He gave Him to us to die for you and I on the cross. He gave it all. And He's telling you tonight, are you willing to dig deep and give it all to me? Guys, we owe it all to Him. We owe it all to Him. What kind of story are you going to leave behind? When you die, when I die, what are people going to remember us as? The phony disciple that just would come to church and sing songs but never did anything? Or the person that sold their life out to God and gave everything that they had to serve God? Interns, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary. Honestly, the reward that you have is greater than anything that you could ever acquire here on earth. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer and search your hearts. And if you say, like, man, you know what? I'm walking in shallow waters. I'm walking in shallow waters. I want you to stand up and just come up to the front and just jump in to deep, deep waters. Amen. Father, I thank you for this young people that is here tonight. God, we want to be a generation that is not going to be remembered for building churches and making money, or how many kids we had, or how nice our hair looked, or how many friends we had on Instagram and Facebook, and how many people liked our picture. We want to be remembered as a generation that was completely in love with you. We want to be a generation that's going to be remembered as a generation that was on fire for you. that revival came to lost people because of us and this church. So right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you search everybody's hearts. And if anyone is walking in shallow waters, including myself, that we can make a commitment tonight. And we can make tonight a memoriam of a new beginning, Lord. Just like that chalkboard, we don't want to write stuff that we most regretted, but the best decision we've ever made.